From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of November, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Bruce Bostard will be here from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator to look at the cash grain market. And we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Along the way today, we'll hear Daryl Good's reaction to this morning's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat at $8.90 for the soft red, down 12.5 for the afternoon. The March contract down 14.5 at 9.02. And July of next year at $8.88¾. The harvest month 6¾ lower. In Kansas City, July at $9.25. Down 13.5 cents. December corn today, 7.39¼, finished 2 lower. The March at 7.41½, down a penny and 3/4. And the May, down a penny and 1/4, at $7.39 on the day. July futures in the corn pit at 7.28¾, down 2¼. And September at 6.52¾, down 2¼. December contract at 6.31, down 5¼. March corn of next year for the 2014 contract at 6.37½, 5½ cents lower. November beans at $14.52, a settlement price there, down 47¼. January at 14.51¼, down 44½. And the March at 14.36½, down 40 cents. May futures in the bean pit at 14.19¼, down 36¾. In July, $14.08, down 33½ cents. The August contract down 31 cents at $13.80¼. And next year's November at $13.19¾, 18 cents lower. Bean meal futures on the day at $4.49.70, down 13.20. Bean oil at $47.87, 90 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby Febs at $129.35, unchanged. January feeders at $145.60, down 27½. And February lean hogs at $86.32½. Up 32½ cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil futures on the afternoon at $86.08, up 99 cents. The RBOB gasoline at 2.76, 9 8/10 higher. Ethanol at 2.38 2/10, that's a penny and 3/4 higher for the day. And the RBOB gasoline to ethanol spread at 32 4/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $3.50 1/10 of a cent, down $10 and 7/10 of a cent. And the heating oil for the day at $3.50. That's 5 cents higher. Gold futures at $1,730.90 an ounce, up $4.90. And the U.S. dollar at 81.02 is 0.22 higher. Hey, a couple of things that you might want to put into your calendar coming up on the 26th day of November. That's this month. Actually, a couple of days there. I think the 26th and 7th, Monday and a Tuesday. You might want to visit the CropSciConferences.com website and sign up for the annual Ag Masters program. It's a really good program. I'll kick that one off in the morning on Monday. And then they break out in to classroom sessions over the next day and a half. The Ag Masters program is developed by the University of Illinois Crop Sciences Department, and you can sign up on the CropSciencesConference.com website. While you're there, you'll also find the Corn and Soybean Classic series that I host in the month of January. You can get an early sign-up and registration started for that. Another place that you need to go, Farm Doc Daily, and sign up for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Those come up in the first full week of December. We'll be on the road across the state of Illinois. If you're interested in hearing what the ag economists have to say on a series of topics, find out more on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address there is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And you can always visit, of course, our website for more complete details in the schedule at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the futures market since USDA released some reports this morning is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, man, what a rough day in Chicago. Actually, a whole lot rougher than I thought it might be given the numbers that came out from USDA this morning.
I think fundamentally it was rougher than it probably should have been, especially given that the total bean usage for the United States went up 3.5% versus last month. I get the feeling at this point, Todd, and this is something that I've been writing to clients about pretty much the whole month, that it's a tough time to buy weakness because you have fund liquidation. Why would you have fund liquidation with the kind of demand we're dealing with? I think it goes back to we're in a very close and similar year this year in terms of since the August market as we had last year at this time, and we had a very big move down from the end of August last year. We actually made major lows in most of the grain complexes, most of the commodity index, the agricultural indexes, as well as the grain indexes for the Dow Jones UBS right around the end of November, and then put in kind of a double bottom the second week of December. Those were the major lows for the next 6 months for the most part. So I think that's how I would attribute today as far as why did we see double the amount of volume on January bean trade than what we had been dealing with the rest of this week prior to the report. And I think it wasn't that you didn't feed the bull and you were already in a kind of a cycle that was similar to what we had been dealing with last year at this time.
When you look at the November contract on the nearby beans, it was down 75 cents on the week. That's a long ways, and it took out, I suppose, any bullish enthusiasm that was there as it tried to make, on the daily charts at least, a head and shoulders bottom.
Yeah, exactly right. We had a 5% loss for the week, over half of that, over almost 3%, or right at 3% of that just today. I think the solace that I can garner from what happened today when I take a step back to the medium term is a year ago today, the USDA increased their U.S. bean carryover from 160 to 195. And so when you look at the charts and you see a free fall look on the daily charts, it'd probably be wise to look at the weekly charts and look and see how very oversold, extreme oversold is how I would classify them. And also the idea is, do we need to go all the way back to where we were last week in flat, last year in flat price? I don't think we need to do that because we have such a much tighter carryover situation, both domestically, and we've had enough planting issues in South America, the early bean crop from South America. The total production may be there, but I think the early bean crop getting to the ports will not be nearly as early as the trade was counting on.
Well, what you've just said tells me maybe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not a willing seller at this point of new crop or next year, 2013,
that's right.
Soybeans. Is that right?
That's exactly right. In fact, what I've been writing to clients is to be looking for an opportunity in this late November to late December time period for a cash-led rally across the board, whether it's corn, beans, or wheat. I think wheat has already telegraphed that because typically wheat will bottom about 30 days before corn does, and if the corn can find a bottom off of the wheat and the beans don't fight it, then I think we have a good shot of going higher into the mid-November to mid-December time period. That's where I really want to make hay with selling new crop corn and beans and also letting some more 12 go as well.
So where are you calling the bottom here for the wheat and to get an idea where this 30 is? Are we back when in the recent October 15th? That would be pretty. That would be now.
Yeah.
If your bottom is that right, so you're thinking corn may have maybe approaching a bottom at this point.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think here's the key: wheat, I think, can give the corn a bottom. In other words, support the price. I think we're already at that. Today's report, I think, showed that because the USDA took wheat feeding down, and the only reason I can imagine them taking wheat feeding down was because the price of wheat is now $1.50 over corn in terms of Chicago. It's probably even more than that in Europe right now. And so I think the wheat can support the corn, but if you really want, and this is what I've told clients today, if you really want the corn to get over 775 and take out its recent highs, I think you really have to have the beans on board for that. So unless the beans want to find a bottom and move higher, like I think they can, I think the corn's going to be strapped into and trapped in a trading range, a pretty wide one, but a trading range nonetheless.
That's for old crop. How about for new crop? Trading range there too? Or
yeah, I'm still of the opinion that the supplies are tight enough and the cash markets are going to be lean enough that the supply side, the producers out there, aren't going to sell, Todd, at this stage of the game, that we're still in a front-led pulling the back-end market higher. So I think we're in a front-end-led rally still.
Yeah, front-end-led rally. Are you in the same boat with corn that on new crop sales that you as you are in beans, where you don't want to make them at this time?
That's right. I think the only thing that I would test the water on is at this $9 level in July Chicago wheat, I could see getting some more catch-up sales made and getting some new crop on the books. But I think that when it comes to the corn and beans, both, the new crop should be led higher by the old crop on a cash-led type move.
Did you get a chance to take a look at those global numbers for wheat just a bit more and how USDA changed the export figures and what difference it might make to you?
I didn't see. The big thing that I saw was that
they added $100 million to the global exports.
For the U.S. exports or the global?
No, global.
Okay, the global. I did not see that. Yeah. What I did see was they are at 174 for global ending stocks, and the FAO is at 166.7. The European wheat, that's 7.5 million tons difference. The European wheat market would suggest to me that they're buying more into the FAO number and the much tighter carryover level than what USDA gave us today. What I didn't think much of when it came to the USDA numbers was the fact that they kept the Russian number unchanged at 38, and they didn't change hardly anything when it came to the Black Sea as a whole. And I thought that the Australian crop being lowered only 2 million tons, they need to do some further lowering on that. So I could see where the FAO numbers are a little bit more accurate.
Yeah, somebody's going to run out of wheat eventually, I guess.
I think that's what it boils down to. And there was already rumors again today that with this move up in Europe that the Black Sea was probably going to make an announcement next week.
Anything
that again.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about who might be behind that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I do believe there is an Australian company behind the last time.
Well, right,
not the last
right.
time, but the previous one. So
right.
We'll have to think about that one. What about livestock? You considered what this might mean for producers of livestock and whether they should or should not be thinking about locking in any near-term supplies if they need them?
Yeah, great question. I think this is the time to do the meal. If you're looking at getting needs locked in from January through April, which I think is the most sensitive time period for the meal market and the meal feeder, this is the time to be doing it. For the corn, I'd rather still buy strength. In other words, make that corn market close above the 40-day moving average. That would give me the buy signal for both re-ownership or be ready to start selling more 12 if you're a producer, or get on the bus and get some longs put in if you're a feeder.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Mike again, you can always do that. We're on our website at willag.org, or you can dial this number, 217-333-3434. If you're on a smartphone, try m.willag.org. All places that you can catch all of our agricultural programming, or a lot of it, not the phone line, but the mobile site and the website. And we post it not long after it airs on our radio station. Speaking of which, Commodity Week is posted there before we aired on any of our radio stations. You can find it at willag.org. Our guest this week on Commodity Week will be Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services. She's out of Webster City, Iowa.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now here's Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers with today's agricultural newscast.
In agricultural news, U.S. wholesale businesses increased their stockpiles in September at the fastest pace in 9 months, and their sales jumped by the largest amount in 18 months. The increases point to stronger economic growth. The Commerce Department says wholesale stockpiles grew 1.1% in September, up from 0.8% growth in August. Sales at the wholesale level jumped 2% in September. That was In agricultural news, U.S. wholesale businesses increased their stockpiles in September at the fastest pace in 9 months, and their sales jumped by the largest amount in 18 months. The increases point to stronger economic growth. The Commerce Department says wholesale stockpiles grew 1.1% in September, up from 0.8% growth in August. Sales at the wholesale level jumped 2% in September. That was double the August gain and the largest increase since March 2011. The increase may mean the economy grew at a faster rate in the July-September quarter than first estimated. The next Congress may be tasked with voting to reauthorize the federal farm bill, which expired at the end of September. Congressman-elect Rodney Davis says the U.S. House should have passed a farm bill by now, but he doesn't expect that to happen during the lame duck session. The Taylorville Republican says a comprehensive crop insurance program should be included.
What we have to ensure is that our farmers have the safety net and the certainty they need, especially if they're willing to give up direct payments. We need to make sure that a strengthened crop insurance program is the key to any comprehensive farm bill passage. And that's no more important anywhere in America than right here in the 13th District.
Davis adds that setting a cap on crop insurance is something lawmakers should consider. Davis's new 13th congressional district includes Champaign, Decatur, Bloomington, Springfield, and the Metro East area near St. Louis. North Dakota is the first state in the nation to enshrine the right to farm in its constitution. Voters passed a constitutional amendment this week that guarantees the rights of farmers to engage in modern agriculture and protects their right to employ agricultural technology, modern livestock production, and ranching practices. The National Conference of State Legislatures says the amendment could inspire similar efforts in other states. And a 10-acre Purdue University research farm has been certified as organic. The certification gives Purdue scientists a chance to play a bigger role in the organic farming field. Scientist Kevin Gibson says the farm will allow researchers to evaluate organic farming management practices. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Sean Powers with Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record this evening at about 4:30 Central Time and post to our website by 6 o'clock. Our guest this week, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Brian Stark and Kurt Kimmel, along with Merrill Crowley, will be our panelists in studio. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Well, this morning, as you know, USDA released those reports. I talked to Darrell Good just a bit about the numbers. He has this review.
When we look at the corn situation, the USDA really what I call would kind of tweak the numbers in this report. The production forecast went up marginally based on a slightly higher yield forecast of 122.3 bushels. USDA, surprisingly, I guess, did increase their forecast of corn use for food purposes this year slightly, increased their forecast of corn imports by 25 million bushels, and at the end of the day, increased the forecast of year-ending stocks by 28 million bushels, lowered their forecast of the marketing year average price by 20 cents a bushel. That stands now at $7.60. On the world scene, again, very modest changes, only marginal changes. People were looking at the Argentine production number to see if there would be any reflection of the extremely wet start to the planting season there, but none showed up in this report. So at the end of the day, the numbers showed a little bit larger supply than the market had been looking for, but not by much. So kind of a neutral report, I think, for corn. For soybeans, I think with the production number coming in about 111 million bushels larger than the October forecast, that's about 30 million more than the market was looking for. USDA offset much of that with increased consumption forecast, but at lower prices. They did lower the season's average farm price by 35 cents a bushel. So a larger supply, we will consume more, but at a lower price. We'll still have pretty small ending stocks, 140 million bushels. Again, on the world scene, tweaked production forecast for a couple minor producing areas, but nothing for Argentina or Brazil at this point. So the big focus for soybeans was the U.S. production number, and I think that was large enough that it added fuel to the downtrend that we've been seeing in soybean prices here in recent weeks.
University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good talking about this morning's USDA release of the crop production and the WASDE numbers.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market. On the phone line with us, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good morning, or rather good afternoon to you, Bruce. How are you today?
Good.
Did farmers call in surprised and scared and wondering, or not at all today?
A little bit of all three. And it's a wild market. In the first 4 minutes after the report, we traded between five higher and five lower, had a nice run on corn at one point during the day before it fell apart. So kind of an interesting day.
Yeah, a 10-cent trading range
yeah.
is not much for
yeah,
this
but
market.
For 4 minutes within a report, it's not too bad.
Yeah. I suppose that is true. You're all done there, I suppose, or really close to it.
Really close to it.
Yeah. Have you been loading trains out?
We have loaded a few. We've got one in transit right now, so probably something Monday when it's raining and nasty out there to do.
Where's the one in transit headed?
To Decatur.
Oh, to Decatur. So
yep.
Would that be usual, them taking a full train load from you?
Up until the last year, it would be very unusual. In the last year or so, we've seen a lot of grain moving that direction.
And normally, which direction would grain from your
normally, we would be going down to the Delta or to export.
Mm, so that's being replaced by the imports that are coming in from Argentina and other places that we've seen on the USDA numbers this morning, and yours is turning around, and yours is being sourced a little closer to home.
We're
than
staying
I suspect.
Closer to home on a move that doesn't normally happen.
Yeah. Well, that's all unique. You think they'll be continuing to call for corn from you and other areas that close by and by the train load?
I was thinking so. We do have one real big ringer hitting the market here. The Corps of Engineers, or there's talk about the Corps shutting down, releasing water from the reservoirs up on the Missouri River, and they're talking about closing the Mississippi between St. Louis and Cairo sometime in December.
Yeah, and that would cause your rail to go where? Then?
That would probably cause our rail to either go to Cairo, Mound City, and go over the bank onto a barge or go straight down to New Orleans. Trying to replace what would normally be sourced on the Mid-Miss and the Illinois.
And what are your bids there for the day?
We are at 7.45 on corn and 14.42 on soybeans.
You expect basis for both of those to stay strong, or did things change for you today?
No change on basis, and I expect basis to hang in there and be strong.
Bruce, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. I'll be back in a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. He'll help us take a look at the weather forecast and the mean space. A couple of places you might want to visit, our website at willag.org. And then if you hit the schedule, you'll find the Ag Masters program in our schedule list, along with the Farm Doc programs for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. And you'll find the Corn and Soybean Classics, and there are links there which you can cut and paste. I don't think they're hot, so that you can sign up for each of those. The Corn and Soybean Classic series, by the way, and the Ag Masters program are at Crop Sciences Conference or CropSciConferences.com. And the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, if you're looking for a way to get to them easily, are on the Farm Doc Daily website. That's just farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Talk to you just in 2 minutes.
It's National Scrapple Day. Scrapple is traditionally a mush of pork scraps, cornmeal, and flour, and is arguably the first pork food invented in America. On this day in agricultural history in 1801, American manufacturer Gail Borden was born. He invented a commercial method for condensing milk by heating it in a vacuum. He also created a meat biscuit of cooked meat extracts and flour that was capable of long-term storage. He was the founder of the New York Condensed Milk Company,
which in 1968 became Borden. In 1891, George Hormel opened his meat packing house in Austin, Minnesota. To make ends meet in those early days, Hormel continued to trade in hides, eggs, wool, and poultry. In 1911, George Claude applied for a patent for an electric neon sign. In 1938, Edward Murray East died, an American botanist and chemist. He contributed to genetic theory and to the development of hybrid corn by applying inbred strain breeding, what was then a revolutionary method of seed production. Specifically, he concentrated on controlling the protein and fat content of possible hybrids. East also studied the genetics and breeding of tobacco and potatoes. And in 1965, at 5:15 p.m., a 13-hour blackout of the northeastern U.S. and parts of Canada began when the electric grid failed. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, to take a look at what the agricultural weather forecast holds for us. And rather than most of the agricultural areas and growing regions at this time, we're going to look right here close to home and talk about the cool weather that is headed our way. Jim, it looks like it might be kind of nasty for a while next week.
That's right. Yes, it's interesting times. You know, we start out the weekend very nice weather with highs in the 60s there and maybe up to around 70. But about Sunday night, a cold front is going to reach into the northwest part of the state. And by Monday, we'll be under the influence of very cold air coming out of Canada. So in front of this, we'll probably see a lot of rain. In fact, the potential is up to 1 to 2 inches of rain ahead of this across the state. So that's good news as far as recharging soil moisture. But behind this, they're actually talking about a chance of snow. So Monday and Tuesday, there is at least a slight chance of snow, mostly in the western and northern part of the state.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping you were going to say not here.
Yeah, I was right here. But we might see some flurries or some flakes out of this. So it'll be exciting to see the first snowflake of the season there. And then it'll remain cool next week with highs in the 40s and lows in the 20s there. So if we even get any snow, it's not going to stick around.
Wait, but did you say lows in the 20s?
Yeah, lows probably in the 20s. For here, I should be more careful here.
Yeah.
For us, it'll be more in the 40s for the next couple of nights. But then we get down into the around the 30-degree range there as we move on through the week.
Yeah, so it's kind of the 20s might be a little further north of us.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
but still, is it going to be much colder than average next week?
Yeah, you know, we've been running colder than average here all of November, so it's that trend is continuing on into next week. Now, the longer-range stuff, the 6 to 10-day and the 8 to 14-day, are promising warmer temperatures to return to Illinois. And for us, so maybe we'll see some little warm up there after this brief cold spell.
Anything that you've been watching just for fun that you find of interest in the weather across either the planet or in our area?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the big concern right now is the drought that's kind of really shifted into the high plains states at this point in time. So that's not great news for them. And, you know, this time of year, they don't get a lot of precipitation, so it'd be very hard for them to catch up during the off season here. So I think this is not good news for them for the upcoming growing season. I think here in Illinois, I think we're doing a little better.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. He serves as the state climatologist, joins us on the Closing Market Report. on this Friday afternoon. It wraps it up. Be sure to visit our website this evening about 6 o'clock Central Time. We'll post our Commodity Week program there. Our guest this week, Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. I'm Todd Gleason.